Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope that you enjoy listening to this week's sermon that's about faith development and why it's an important part of our spiritual lives.
Scripture for reflection this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 through 15, and 21, verses 23. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of grace, may you be with us this morning. May we engage our minds and our spirits open to the way that you would teach us. May the reflections of our hearts and the words of our mouths honor you. If we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I couldn't be any more excited to preach for you, quite honestly. It's been 2 months in the making. And honestly, it's been both a difficult and a wonderful thing to have. I am so grateful to have a boss who would not force me to preach after being gone 5 out of 6 weeks in a row the following week, when it would give me time to actually prepare and honestly dive into the Word with you as we join together in this morning. As you might recall, I was out on mission trips and camps and having a wonderful time. So I say that it is both difficult because it was hard not to be preaching, but it was also wonderful because I was getting to know the youth and the children of Creekwood Christian Church and having time to get to know each of you. This has more or less been a 2-month preaching sabbatical for me, which is the longest I've gone in the 8 years I've been doing ministry without preaching. And it's been good, I think. Thank you. It's been difficult in that I like to tell stories. I collect them. I enjoy learning stories and trying to repeat them and hearing things and trying to go, okay, what can I do with that in a sermon? And in the last 2 months, I've had lots of stories collected and I've had to let them go into the oblivion because I'll be honest with you, my memory is not the best. I might have tried to deceive you a little bit when I told you in a month I'm going to have your names memorized. And as you know, 2 months in, I don't have everybody's name down yet. But I'm getting there. And I've learned a lot, though, because it's been a fulfilling time to be able to learn and to engage and to learn more about you as people, learn more about the spirit of this wonderful, exciting, and great congregation. And speaking of learning, it's time to dive into the topic of our conversation today, faith development. And the two passages we read today, they create a bit of a problem. If you listen to the first text from Deuteronomy, we have one that says, "Obey the laws and teachings because they are good and they show others that we are in the community of God." Then if you listen to the text we have from Mark, we have another scripture that tells us that you have abandoned the commandment of God and you hold on to human tradition. In essence, I believe this text in Mark is talking about the transformation of the heart, but bringing these two texts together feels rather confusing. It feels like they are arguing with each other a little bit, having a debate. And I call this interesting combination of text a leaving of the garden experience. And it's a difficult thing to leave the Garden of Eden. And you might be asking yourself, what in the world, Jonathan, does the Garden of Eden have anything to do? Why would you by any means bring in Genesis as a third scripture for this morning? Well, I want to tell you a story. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I have some of my first memories of the church and my faith life. The memories don't entail much about decorations of the church. I don't seem to remember much about the music or the choir that sang, and I certainly don't recall any divine or special words that were mentioned in the sermons. I mean, I was five. But I do remember children's church. And when and where I was growing up, we didn't have an Anna who was able to really teach us these wonderful things about Jesus and church and everything. We learned it, but it wasn't nearly the engagement we have here at Creekwood. Instead, my children's church experience involved running out of the church with my 20 or so friends, going outside of the church down a 50-yard way to the next building by ourselves, turning right into that long hallway till we finally arrived at the nursery room. And this was by no means the safest way to do this all, but it's how we did it back when I was a kid. And we would arrive into the nursery room where we would have children's church play for the next 45 minutes. And I remember things such as playing out on the playground when the weather would allow us to, because it is Texas and it's hot and it's humid down in Houston. I remember playing music with recorders, and I remember having blocks that would spell out words like Christian. But the most vivid memories I have come from playing hide and seek with my friends. On one occasion, I found the perfect hiding spot. You know what I'm talking about, particularly if there are any youth or children in here. There's probably a place here in Creekwood that you know that's my spot. I know where it is. It's the perfect hiding place. But I found it. It was this cubby that was in the nursery room that was about a foot off the ground at its lowest and about 3 feet off the ground at its highest. And it was about 2 to 3 feet wide. The perfect size for a little Jonathan. It also had about 20 stuffed animals in it. And I was able to climb in and get behind it and hide. And what felt like 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes was probably like 2 as a 5-year-old, but it felt like forever, and I was hiding from my friends, and I'm sure that they all forgot that I even existed after not finding me and going on to play a game, but I hid there, and I was so proud of that spot for being hidden for so long, that my parents finally showed up to pick me up, and they asked the nursery attendant, "Where's Jonathan?" "Oh, he's hiding." Being the good parents they were, they decided to play along and said, "Well, we'll go search for him." And so I hear my name being called, "Jonathan, where are you, Jonathan?" And very sneakily and suddenly, my dad finally found me, and he pulls the stuffed animal that's right in front of my face and says, "Gotcha." And I was so excited. There's that feeling of being found that was giddy, and I was a kid that just giggled and had a good time, and I connected with my dad. I remember thinking it was the greatest joy to be found. And this simple, this childlike story is not unlike what my faith journey would be like for the next 5 to 10 years. God was finding me. The world was being shown to me. My faith was new, and it was beautiful, and it was simple. Above all, it was easy. It was like being in the Garden of Eden, and God was showing all of creation to me in a way that I could understand as a small child. Eventually, though, the rubber does hit the road. And it did. Life happened, and things got hard, and it felt like I had been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. It wasn't so simple to see God anymore. And I tried to cling to the ways that I had known and understood my world to be. Between my parents' divorce, my niece being born to my brother when he was just a kid himself, another sister being diagnosed with bipolar schizophrenia, my own first heartbreaks and my body image issues that I had as an awkward and short teenager, I never grew out of that. But it was in these times of difficulty that God suddenly wasn't so simple anymore. And it felt like God wasn't showing me the garden. My days of playing hide and seek had seemingly come to an end. So I clung to traditions, trying to find God in the tradition, perhaps more than trying to find God in the difficult changes of my life. For I needed to cling to that certain song that would make me feel a certain way, or I needed to have that one friend that would sit next to me in the pew because then I would be able to connect with God. If I didn't have these things, I wasn't able to worship, and I had missed the point. It's not that these things were bad. They were good to have that friend and to have that song, but I had made them my worship. I was worshiping the wrong thing. I was no longer growing and changing, but trying to go back. And I think this is a little bit of what these two texts are trying to get the heart of today. It's what makes it so difficult as we attempt to continue learning and growing into the people of faith that we are hoping to be. You see, as churches, as a people of faith, many of us are frequently caught up in doing what the Mark text warns against, with Jesus saying, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold on to human tradition." We get so caught up in the tradition, not because we're trying to do the wrong thing, but often it is because we are clinging to that feeling, that trying to get back to the Garden of Eden. And I have been guilty of this myself many times. And it's not always bad, because indeed sometimes we need the comforts of the familiar. We need those traditions to identify who we are. When we gather to say goodbye to a loved one, or we sing those songs that were their favorites, or when we read a passage that centers us because of its familiarity and simplicity. It's during these times that we turn to such texts as the Deuteronomy text that reminds us of the faith that needs to be passed along. A large part of our story comes from those who have come before us. Many of those who have gone before have served faithfully and sought after God, showing us the faith that has been passed down generation to generation. And a part of it is about this identity. We should be able to tell ourselves apart from the rest of the world. People should be able to look at us and identify, yes, they are Christian. Certain traditions should identify us as a people of faith, a people following after God. The folks in our text were following Moses and were about to cross over into the promised land. Moses was preparing for them what lied ahead, and they were to tell these stories, to remember who they were, to separate them from those that would be around them. And they were to set themselves apart to create this identity for themselves. Generations later, the Torah is written for all future generations to be able to follow into these same traditions that helped create their identity as the people of God. And Torah is sometimes a scary word, because if you know what it translates as, it means law, which is an unapproachable word for many Christians because we identify as under grace versus in the law. But Torah also translates as teachings or instruction, and this changes how we see the Torah, perhaps. For this passage in Deuteronomy isn't about keeping laws for the sake of keeping laws, but is more than keeping tradition. It is about an identity, helping them define themselves as a people of God. And as Christians, we are descendants of Moses, and this identity teaching is for us as well. And it's not just of secondary importance to learn, but is also integral to our future. We too have stories. There's a story that goes like this. There's an old man who comes home after being gone for nearly 60 years from his hometown. He's glad to be home visiting, and he wants to go to the church that he had grown up in and been baptized in. He makes his way into the sanctuary and quietly sits in the back so as not to be noticed, not to be heard, but just to observe in peace and worship. When the service began, he was delighted and a little bit tickled. The four people carrying important symbols into the sanctuary all ducked as they walked into the room as if though they were an imaginary line that they had to duck under to get into the sanctuary. The old man chuckled to himself, and the couple that was sitting in front of him, being the good, patient, kind church folks as they were, didn't interrupt the service to ask him why he was laughing, but instead waited until the following end of the service. And they turned around him at the end of the service and said, "So, why did you laugh at the beginning of the service?" And he responded with another question, "Do you know why they duck when they come in?" And they said, with wholehearted good intention, "Well, because we've always done it that way." With a glint in his eye, he responded, "Well, I know why you do it that way. When I was a boy, there was a different room that entered into the sanctuary. It had a low ceiling, and we all had to duck to get out of the room and into the sanctuary. It was a very practical use, and tradition has carried it on for many years after. So you're ducking because we had to, and you don't have to anymore." Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we do this thing that we do? What is its meaning? Learning of our past and honoring where we come from, discovering who we are as a people of faith, passing down this generation of who God is, to love God and to love neighbor. These are essentials of faith. But there's more. We are never done learning, never done growing. For indeed, as Whitney pointed out with the children, 2 + 2 can also be 2 to the 2nd power, 2 × 2. Simple things sometimes need more time with them. Loving God and loving neighbor are not always so simple. It is also paramount to note that though Moses was preparing the Israelite people for this leg of their journey, this crossing over, it would not be the only way they would cross over or the last time that they would, for indeed, as a people, they would continually experience shifts and changes and a need to cross over into a new understanding of who God would be. Because, well, life happens. And we too will continually be crossing over into new things. We might arrive at a new promised land, and this promised land might feel like another Garden of Eden. And it will feel like a permanent home. But at some point, there will be a time where we have to shift or move or change and once again look for God. The good news about leaving the Garden of Eden is that we are not kicked out and left on our own. In fact, it is much different than that. The faith that we once had is now taken alongside of God, and we are invited to create alongside of God. And it's hard at first to create that something new, but God's Spirit is guiding us along the way, interacting with us and teaching us as we go. My prayer for us as a community is that we continue developing our faith, that we realize that we are never done crossing over into that next place where God is showing us to be, to go. That we can look forward and backward at the same time, living into the present moment. We can honor our past. We can learn and see where God has been, and also look forward to where God might lead us to. For God is not done creating, and neither should we be done. With the Spirit guiding us along the way, leaving the garden and crossing over into these new places perhaps won't seem so impossible. Will you please pray with me? God of grace, thank you for continuing to teach and lead us. Help us to see the ways of the past and honor them and cherish the joy that comes from these traditions. But also help us to not make the traditions our idols. Help us to lean into your Spirit's guidance, seeing new creations in front of us, and engaging with hope and love as we learn how to create alongside of you. May we not be stuck in our past nor forget where we come from. May we be willing to grow, and may you help us cross over into the new places that you will lead. For it is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.